السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین. صدق اللہ العظیم. الحمدللہ قد فضل کرم ان احسان وف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی ان دی لاسٹ تفسیر لیسن وی ڈسکسڈ the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the second verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Right? So the translation that we will find, most Mufassireen, they have translated it as the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, and Ar-Rahim, the Most Merciful. So, according to some, both these words, Rahman and Rahim, they share the same meaning. Right? However, certain Mufassireen say that the word Rahman has a more intensified meaning, has a more intensified meaning of compassion than the word Rahim. While the word Rahman can only be used to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else can be Rahman. Only Allah ta'ala. This is Allah ta'ala's sifat. Allah ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. But Rahim, this can be used to describe the creation of Allah as well. You say a person is merciful. This man is merciful. So you can say that. But you cannot say that this man is beneficent. That's only Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. No other creature, no other creation of Allah Ta'ala can have that amount of mercy that the person can qualify to be called Rahman. We can have mercy to the extent that we are qualified to be called Rahim, but not Rahman. Right? Ji. Then we come to the third verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, and this verse is Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master of the day of retribution. This doesn't mean that Allah ta'ala is not the master of today, that Allah ta'ala will only be the master of the day of retribution. No, Allah Ta'ala is the master of every day. Allah Ta'ala is the creator of time. Allah Ta'ala created us, He created the universe. Everything is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, on the day of Qiyamah, people will receive either rewards or punishment. People will receive either reward or punishment for the deeds that they carried out in the dunya. Whatever amal we carried out in the dunya, so either a person is going to be punished or a person is going to be rewarded. Without Allah Ta'ala's permission, on the day of Qiyamah, nobody will be able to intercede. Allah Ta'ala is the Malik. Nothing will happen. You see, in the dunya, right? In the dunya, Allah Ta'ala gives us some control and choice over our actions. For example, you take a girl now. She is supposed to be in niqab. She is supposed to be in hijab. She is supposed to be in niqab. That is the law of Allah Ta'ala. That is the instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, if a girl or a lady decides not to wear hijab, not to wear niqab, generally nothing happens to them. They leave the house, they got no niqab on their face, they got no hijab on their face, no problem. They're still living a merry life in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Right? So although they are disobeying and they are not complying with the command of Allah, they are allowed to still carry on with their lives as they wish, as they please. Right? You take a man, the man now, he is supposed to have his beard. Right? It's wajib. Now if he takes his beard out, does his face fall down? No. If he takes his beard out, does Allah Ta'ala now make him dumb, that he can't speak? You took your beard out, so now you don't have the ability to speak. No. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give immediate retribution in the world. Man is given choice. You do what you want to do. You have got the power to choose. You want to tread the path of goodness and piety, you can do that. You want to tread the path of evil and disobedience, you may do that. So in the world, man thinks he has got some control. Right? He has got some control. He is an owner. He can do certain things. He got some authority. Then if you take, for example, property, right? You take a lady now, she says, this is my handbag. This is my jewelry. Right? These are my cloaks or my outfits or whatever. Right? In reality, it's not hers. But she claims ownership. She claims ownership. And Allah Ta'ala allows for her to claim that ownership. Because if there was no ownership, there'd be chaos, right? You'll see now this one sister, for example, the sister's name is Hasina, right? And the other sister's name is Hassana, right? Two sisters now, Hasina and Hassana. So Hassana decided that she's going to wear this particular cloak today. She goes to her cupboard and the cloak is not there. Now she's looking for her cloak. She sees Hasina is wearing her cloak. Say, excuse me, I was supposed to wear that cloak today. You didn't even take my permission, you just took the cloak. So Hassana says to her, what are you talking? It's not your cloak, it belongs to Allah. It's not yours. Since when it became yours? Everything belongs to Allah. So now there'll be chaos on earth, isn't it? I come out of the masjid, I see one smart M3, M4, something there. Right? It can only be smart if it's an M3, M4, C63 and all can look smart. Mercedes, yeah. Only BMW can look smart. Eh? I'm just joking. So anyway, so if I come out, I see one smart BMW there, the owner of the car, he forgot the key inside, car is left open. So I jump in, take the car and go away. People tell me what you're doing. I say, no, this belongs to Allah. It's all Allah's. Everything belongs to Allah. So there'll be chaos on earth. You go home, weekend. You see some other people living in your house. You went away for Umrah. You went for Umrah 2 weeks. After Umrah, you come back, you're nice and tired, brought all your kajur and zamzam and everything. You come home, there's some other people living there. You say, bhai, our house. You say, since when your house? It's Allah's house. We took it now. So there'll be chaos on earth. So on earth, Allah Ta'ala has given people some milkiyat. You can call certain things yours. Right? You say your time is yours. Your things are yours. Your possessions belong to you. Right? And you have some choice when it comes to your actions. But on the day of Qiyamah, there's nothing. On the day of Qiyamah, all the gold will be there, nobody will touch it. Nobody can lay claim to it. The whole world will be empty. No insan will be on earth. Everybody will be on the plains of resurrection. But can anybody come and say, you know, this is my property, this is my land, that's mine, this is mine? No. Nobody can lay claim to anything. And even a kafir, Allah save us from kufr. We must never ever think that we're safe. We will only be safe the moment we pass away. The moment we pass away, and we pass away with iman, our soul goes to Allah Ta'ala and Allah is happy with the soul. Now we can rest. Until then we can't rest. This whole life is an effort to pass away on iman. That's what it's about. To live such a life that Allah Ta'ala in His mercy, He gives us death upon iman. So you cannot get tired on the way. You cannot get tired on the way. A lot of times a person says, no, I'm giving up all my gunas now and I'm going straight. You know, I'm going straight now. I'm giving up all. Because Sirat-e-Mustaqim is a straight path. I say, I'm giving up all my sins now and I'm going straight. So you carry on for 1 month and then you meet up with some old friends from the old life and we fall down again. We fall down again. Or sometime, you know, my Azmanis Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, there is one kitab of his, right, combating the whisperings of shaitan. So he explains the different attacks of the devil. How the devil comes from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left, and what attacks he makes. So one of the attacks, Hazrat mentions there, is that shaitan tells you, hey, how long are you going to carry on so pious now? How long are you going to restrain yourself? So, there is a beautiful poem that Hazrat Ismail Sahib Rahmatullahi used to recite in his majalis. راہ پر تھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے. That person who gets tired, he gets tired. In other words, he gets tired of remaining in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and staying away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And he says, hey, I can't take it anymore now and I can't do this anymore. So راہ پر تھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے, he sits down now, he gives up, وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے. He is not worthy of this journey to Allah. He is not worthy of this journey to Allah Ta'ala. So we can't get tired. We have to continue our efforts حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until death comes. Our efforts have to continue until death. When we pass away, and then we see that I have passed away on iman, from that moment onwards, you don't have to make any effort anymore. For eternity. For eternity after that, it's only enjoyment. You don't have to make any effort anymore. So sometime, there may be certain laws of Allah Ta'ala or sunnats of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we, because of our own weakness, no law of Allah is hard. No sunnat is hard. But because of our own weakness, we find certain things to be difficult or hard or challenging, etc. Right? We must still do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Because we only have to make effort till we pass away. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. See, that girl passed away on Friday, 17 years of age. She passed away. Now imagine, if she became baligh or baligha at 11 years of age or 12 years of age, right? She became baligha, right? Now, if from that time she said, you know what, no matter how long I live, I'm going to live a life of piety. She only had to do it for 5 years. She only had to restrain herself for 5 years. And then she got bliss, success, right, for eternity. It's a small price to pay, right? Now, even if we have to live an average life of 65 years, 68 years, 70 years, 75 years, average life, compared to eternity is nothing. So you have to sacrifice and keep yourself firm and abstain from all the haram type of enjoyment only for 60 years, 70 years. Right? And after that you can do whatever you want to do. Once you go to Jannah, the playing field is yours. You make the laws. You make the laws. Now you do what you want to do after that. So shaitan is the one who makes us think that this life is long. Life is not long. It's very short. Life is very, very short. Gee. So on the day of Qiyamah, when you say Maliki Yawmiddin, on that day, truly, insan will also see that only Allah Ta'ala is the king. Allah is the owner. Allah is the master, right, of the day of retribution. Not that he's not the master today. He's the master today also. But on that day you will really see. Nobody will be able to help anyone on that day. Only Allah Ta'ala can come to our assistance. Allah Ta'ala will not only be the judge on that day, but he will be the master. Right? You see, in this world, a judge can pass a verdict. Right? He can pass a verdict. But his verdict has to be, or his verdict is bound by the constitution. Right? Whatever verdict he gives, it has to be bound by the laws of that state. He cannot pass any law contrary to the constitution of that country. He is bound by that. Although he calls himself a chief judge or whatever, but he is a slave of the system. He has to follow the system. He can't go out of the system. And then, if he passes a judgment, his judgment can be challenged. You know, even a judge passes a judgment, then what they say? They're going now to the high court. They're taking it to high court. They don't accept this judgment here. They're taking it to high court. Or they're taking it to an appeal. Then they say, no, we're appealing this judgment. The judge made judgment, but we're appealing it. So you can have another court case after that. And if you got one sharp advocate, he can prove that the judgment of the judge was incorrect. That is a judgment in this world. Right? And then, also, a judge can pass a judgment, but he cannot enforce it. For example, you get a maintenance case. Right? Say, husband and wife got divorced. So now, the judge says that the husband must give 1,000 rand a month for the child. That's the judgment. But can the judge enforce it? If the husband don't give it, what is he going to do? The judge cannot enforce it. Right? But when Allah Ta'ala is the Malik, Allah is the Malik, there's no laws that govern Allah. If Allah Ta'ala, say for example, like that Hadith Sharif comes, where there was a lady of ill repute, lady who was involved in wrong things, shameless things. But one day she came to the well, she was thirsty, there was no bucket, so she went down and she drank water. Now those days they used to have like a ladder to go down into the well. So she went down into the well and she drank water. When she came out, she's coming up now from the well, she comes to the top, she sees a dog there. And the dog is trying to suck the mud, trying to squeeze some water out of the mud, because the dog is thirsty. So she feels the dog, sorry, and she goes down, she fills her sock or her shoe with water, right? And then she comes up and she squeezes this into the mouth of the dog. Now she goes few times, because how much water can she really carry? So she goes few times up and down and she squeezes this water into the dog's mouth until the dog's thirst is quenched. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that action of this lady so much that He forgave her. When she passed away, Allah ta'ala forgave all her sins. So Allah is not bound that you have to follow this rules and that rules. Only if a person does this, you can go to Jannah. Only if a person does that. No. Allah makes the rules. There's no constitution governing Allah Ta'ala's decisions. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah wants to forgive a person, Allah can forgive the person. And then if Allah Ta'ala passes a judgment, there's no appeal court. There's no high court. Allah is the supreme authority. Whatever judgment Allah makes, that's it. That's final. Right? Nobody can come and say, no, that judgment is incorrect. Whatever judgment Allah passes, that's it. And when Allah Ta'ala will pass the judgment, whatever His judgment is, it will be enforced. Nobody can go against it. In fact, on the day of Qiyamah, right? You take a person who passed away on kufr, Allah save us all. But a person who passed away on kufr, from the time he passes away, he's already in azab. Right? Like Allah Ta'ala speaks about Fir'aun, "An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwwa wa 'ashiyya." As he is now in his grave, the fire of Jahannam is presented to him every day, morning and evening. Right? So that's besides all the other azab in the qabr. So a person who passed away on kufr and he is in the barzakh and he's being punished, right? Now when he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, will he want to go to the field of resurrection? He knows now that worse is waiting for me. So he won't want to go to the fields of resurrection. He'll want to escape. He'll want to run away. Right? But he won't have control over his body. His body will have to move in the direction of the planes of resurrection. He will have to go and present himself there, whether he likes it or not. Although when he's standing there, he's hoping, if only this earth can split open and swallow me up. But he won't be able to go anywhere else. He'll have to be there. This is why we learn in the Quran Sharif and also in the Ahadith that your body parts will testify against you in the world. If you're sitting there and you got something that I'm not supposed to see, right? You got something by you that I'm not supposed to see. You're not supposed to have it, right? You got something illegal by you that you're not supposed to have. So you don't want me to see. Or you don't want the police officer to see. Or you don't want your parents to see. So what will you use to conceal it? You'll use your body, isn't it? With your hand, you'll take it and duck it somewhere. So your body works in your favor. Or so you think. That it's working in your favor. Right? You duck it, you put it away, you set on it or whatever. If your mother is to ask you, what you got there? No, nothing. Your tongue is lying to save your skin. Or so you think, isn't it? But on the day of Qiyamah, if a person denies certain gunas, Allah Ta'ala will seal his ability to speak with the tongue. The hands will start speaking. The legs will start speaking. The skin will speak. Now, he'll be asking, so what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you talking against me? I mean, we won. We're partners in crime. But his own body, he will see on that day that I was a fool thinking that I own my body. That lady will say, I was a fool thinking that I can choose whether I want to wear niqab or not. I can choose whether I want to wear tight-fitting clothing or not. That day she'll realize that, you know what, I was a fool to think That I can just do as I please. No, I don't even own my own body. Allah Ta'ala is the owner of everything. So this is Maliki Yawmiddin. So these three verses, the first three verses of Suratul Fatiha, are all praises of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the universe. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. This is also praising Allah Ta'ala. Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah Ta'ala is the Malik of the Day of Retribution. These are all Allah Ta'ala's praises. The fourth verse, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. That only you do we worship. That, O Allah, only you do we worship. And only you do we turn to for help. We only beg of help from you. We only worship you and we only seek assistance from you. We beg you for help. Right? So this ayat is between Allah and His servants. Both are included there. So once a person has accepted and he has acknowledged Allah Ta'ala's attributes as mentioned above, he cannot help but saying that I'm going to worship only Allah. And only Allah can help me. When we realize that only Allah is the Malik, right, then how can I turn to anybody else? I can only turn to Allah Ta'ala. I can only worship Allah Ta'ala. Right? So realizing this, once he realizes that I can only worship Allah and I can only seek protection, help from Allah, right? Then the only way to secure this worship and secure the assistance from Allah Ta'ala is to remain on the straight path. This then prompts the person to make dua to Allah. First he praised Allah Ta'ala. He has now realized the power of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah. He has realized this now. He acknowledges it. So this is why he now says, Oh Allah, I only worship you. I only worship you and I only seek help from you. I seek assistance from you. Right? So when we are reading our salah, a lot of times people complain that my concentration is weak in salah. But now when we're reading our namaz and we ponder over this, we ponder over the meaning now of Surah Fatiha, now this will bring a whole spiritual dimension to our salah. Now we are talking to Allah Ta'ala. We're using Allah's words to talk to Allah. Understand? So here we'll stop there. And we'll continue with this in the next period, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.